Good morning. Good to worship with you this morning. If you have your Bibles, turn to Genesis 27, please, and we'll get ready to go through this passage of Scripture. Many of you read in your emails that last week we had a medical emergency in the first service, and we're only just a few minutes into the message. So a couple things about that. One, if you're not on the email list, it's a good idea to be on that so you can get updates. And what we ended up doing was sending a copy of the sermon from second service to the whole church so they could watch it and be up, you know, ready for the passage this morning. But I just want to let you know that every worship service we have here, we have a medical team that's ready to go, and that team jumped right into action last week. We have an evacuation team every service, and we have a security team every service. And some of those on the security team are armed, and some of those are unarmed. But I'm glad to see that folks jumped right in the way they needed to last week. And that's for your safety and security. And we've been working on these for probably 6 or 8 years, the things behind the scenes. And, of course, we're trusting ultimately in God for our protection. Amen? Amen. But we also want to keep our gunpowder dry. So trust in God and keep your powder dry, right? Didn't somebody say that? We also want to be ready and prepared so that we can jump into action when needed. If you're interested in serving on any of those teams, talk to Elder Bob Holstein. He's the one who was up here a few moments ago reading from the Westminster Confession or the Shorter Catechism and from the Scripture. We'd love to have you serve in that area. So this morning, we're going to look at Genesis 27. The passage I'll read will be verses 1 through 40. It's a longer passage, so if you're not able to stand for that long, that's okay. But it's a pretty amazing passage, and you read this and you think, oh my word, these people were so messed up. And then you say, we're the church, and we're just like them. We really are. So please stand, if you would, for the reading of God's word. Follow along as I read Genesis 27, beginning at verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." And he answered, "Here I am." He said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Now then, take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such as I love, and bring it to me so that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game and bring it, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, 'Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die.' Now therefore, my son, obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me 2 good young goats so that I may prepare from them delicious food for your father, such as he loves. And you shall bring it to your father to eat, so that he may bless you before he dies." But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing." His mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me." So he went and took them and brought them to his mother, and his mother prepared delicious food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And the skins of the young goats she put on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. So he went in to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." But Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have found it so quickly, my son?" He answered, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come near me that I may feel you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" He answered, "I am." Then he said, "Bring it near to me that I may eat of my son's game and bless you." So he brought it near to him and he ate, and he brought him wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game that you may bless me." His father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" He answered, "I am your son, your firstborn, Esau." Then Isaac trembled very violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, even me also, O my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing." Then he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Behold, I have made him Lord over you, and all his brothers I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, "Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your powerful word. We pray this morning that you would guide my thoughts and my words. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, and teach us and convict us and comfort us. We pray from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There is a whole lot of lion going on in Genesis 27. A whole lot. If you'll remember, regarding the twins, Esau was born first, and then Jacob came out grasping Esau's heel, and the Lord declared that the older one would serve the younger, whereas the cultural expectation is that the younger would serve the older. Remember that Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. We're already told that previously in chapter 25. But Esau was not God's plan for the promised blessing to come to the nations of the earth that would ultimately come through Christ. God promised an offspring who would come and destroy evil, and God declared that would come through Jacob, not through Esau. And Esau didn't walk with the Lord. Now, Jacob didn't walk with the Lord either, but you're going to see God bringing Jacob to himself in the coming chapters. We're going to see beginning next week. This story actually goes from the end of 26. It's kind of bookended by chapter 26, verse 34 and 35, which basically says that Esau went and married two women And they made life bitter for Isaac and Rebekah. And then it's bookended on the end of it in chapter 28, verse 6 through 9, where when things weren't working out with the first two wives, Esau goes and marries a third one. That's not a good thing to do, by the way. When you're in a pit, you don't keep digging deeper, but that's what he did. Jacob does end up walking with the Lord through the covenant by faith. Now, culturally, we read this text and we recoil at so much that happens here. A contract under false pretenses, even outright deceit, is not valid in our culture. It would not stand up in a court of law. You would say, this is not legit. This was done through deception. Also, in our culture, it's unloving to bless one child and not bless the other. But these are things that we miss, that we don't understand what's going on bigger in the text. I'm hoping it'll bring some clarity through the message this morning. There's sin all around. Isaac knew the Lord's will was that the older will serve the younger, and the blessing was to go to Jacob, but he wanted to bless Esau anyway. Rebekah knew God's will, but she went about it by deception, deceiving her husband. Jacob knew God's will, but he took part in the deception and lied to his father. So that's big picture of what's going on. I want to walk you through the chunks of Scripture here and then see the effects of it, and then we'll talk about some application. So basically, the blessing is going here to Isaac. No matter which way, all this human involvement, all this sin, it's going to Jacob. It still ends up in Jacob's hands in spite of all the sin. So we get in verses 1 through 4, Isaac's deathbed plan for blessing. Isaac's getting older. He's losing his eyesight. He has a sense that he's nearing the end. Verse 2, he said, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death." Okay? Now, there's a lot of things that people can study about Isaac. Remember, he was the promised child. The parents waited for him for so long, 25 plus years. They waited to have this child, and they finally get the promised child. He was probably spoiled in a lot of ways. It was very, very much about him. He's on his deathbed. He's losing his eyesight, and you know what? He ends up living for decades longer. He thinks he's dying. He gets nervous. And so he says, I'm going to make sure that Esau gets blessed. So he summons Esau to go hunting and prepare for him a savory supper of this food that he shoots, or he doesn't shoot. They don't have guns, do they? He didn't shoot him. That'd be out of historical context. Somehow he got this game and prepared him for the blessing. Apparently at that time, when you did the blessing to the oldest child, it was accompanied by a meal and a kiss. All right? There's lots of New Testament implications of that for the Last Supper and the betrayal by Judas. That would be interesting stuff for another sermon. But you have this ceremony where there's a meal and a kiss, and the blessing is given to the oldest. So Rebekah's listening in, and she overhears this conversation. Look at verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So she's hearing all this stuff that's going on, the mom of the house. And I just want to say, there's a proper place, by the way, women, men should too, but women, you should have a bearing on what's going on in your household. Okay? I'm not saying that you should listen in to secret conversations, but my wife and I always prayed at least two things for all three of our kids. One, that the Lord would bring people into their lives, older people who love the Lord, that our kids would look up to, that they would also hear from them. Because your kids get to a certain age where they won't maybe listen to mom and dad, but they'll listen to somebody else, like an aunt or an uncle or another good influence, even though they're saying the exact same things you are, and they'll listen to them. So we prayed that the Lord would bring some people into their life that would speak into their life. We also prayed, Lord, let us see what you want us to see going on in our kids' lives. If it was sin that they were involved in, we want to see that. Lord, bring it to light. And we also prayed if they were being sinned against by someone, bring that to light. Just, Lord, show us as parents what we need to see. So there's something healthy about just being aware of what's going on in your household. So Rebekah sees this, but she doesn't use it for a good plan. She hears this, she goes, and she gets Jacob, and she brings him into this thing. So Jacob doesn't object to the plan of deceit at all. His only response is, he's afraid it's not going to work. Look at verse 11. Look back at verse 10. And you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies. Verse 11. But Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, behold, my brother Esau is a hairy man and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me and I shall seem to be mocking him and bring a curse upon myself and not a blessing. So he's not objecting to the plan. He's just saying, I don't think it's going to work. I just don't think this is going to work. He's hairy. I'm smooth. By the way, the phrase there for smooth man, certainly he's talking about his skin, that his brother had more hair on his body than he did. But the same word is used in Psalms and Proverbs of a man who's conniving and slippery and deceitful. And that's exactly what Jacob was. Jacob was a swindler. And it talks about in Psalms and Proverbs, the man or the woman whose speech is smooth as butter, but war is within their heart. You need to watch out for people like that. You need to pray for the Holy Spirit to give you discernment. And it warns against men whose paths are crooked but smooth in their ways. Young people, you need to watch out for the friends you have in your life. Because there are people whose ways are crooked but they're smooth and they're going to be a way to entice you in. And then Rebekah, when Jacob says, I don't think it's going to work, Rebekah's response is amazing. Verse 13. He says, I don't want to bring a curse on myself. Verse 13, his mother said to him, let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go bring them to me. She actually says, fine, I'll be the one that's cursed. Can you imagine? Go and deceive and lie, and if it doesn't work, I'll take the curse. So that's what she does. So you get this plan orchestrated by the mother, and Jacob willingly goes along every step of the way. And then you get Jacob's plan to receive the blessing. So he's got his disguise on. He gets the food from his mother and he steps into the room and he begins to speak. Verse 18, so he went into his father and said, my father? And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I'm Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Now sit up and eat of my game that your soul may bless me. Outright lie to his dad. Now, his dad knows something's going on. His dad has a clue, and he says, well, how did you do this so quickly? I just sent you out. How did you get this food so quickly? And he actually implicates the Lord in his deceit. Look at verse 20. But Isaac said to his son, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He answered, because the Lord your God granted me success. He actually says the Lord is part of this. The Lord your God granted me, he's lying, and he's implicating the Lord. And it's interesting, don't miss the fact he says, Dad, the Lord your God. He doesn't say the Lord my God. The Lord is not his God yet. The Lord is his father's God. And I don't want to read too much into that phrase, but it is significant. The Lord your God granted me success. So he's implicating God in this scheme that he has. First service, we brought in 10 new members this morning and had a baptism. At the end of this service, we're going to bring in 8 new members and have a baptism. And I'm just telling you that because I love interviewing the people and when people are coming into the church. We're very blessed with what the Lord's doing here right now. But as a pastor, there's always for me kind of an awesome joy and satisfaction when new people at the church begin to say, I like our church, rather than I like your church. I really like your church, Pastor. Well, and it's not my church, it's the Lord's church. But when people begin to take ownership, and they're not here saying, this is someone else's group, but I'm part of this, this is our church. And it's the same way with the Lord. It's not, I like your God, or I'm following your God. He's my God. I personally am following my God. That's the subtleness of the language that's used there. And then he's asked point blank by his father, and he lies. Verse 24. Isaac said, are you really my son Esau? Jacob answered, I am. Blatant lie to his dad. Right there. And then what happens? Verse 26, he blesses him. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near and kiss me, my son." So he came near and kissed him, and Isaac smelled the smell of his garments and blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed." And then he gives this blessing. There's three elements to it. Verse 28, "May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine." And so he's blessing him with creation's produce and abundance. "For you, Jacob," he's thinking it's Esau, but it's Jacob, "and your offspring, may you have the abundance of God's creation. I will produce this for you." It's speaking ahead to the life in the promised land, that God will take care of his people. He'll provide for his people in the promised land. You know, in the promised land, it's often called the land flowing with milk and honey. You know why that is? It means, it's not just kind of a phrase that we use. It's milk and honey means may your land be filled with livestock, goats, cows, sheep, things that produce milk and honey, which you need bees to basically pollinate the plants. May it be filled with crops and abundance and prosperity. So when it says a land flowing with milk and honey, it means may you have prosperity there and live in the land. And that's what the part of the blessing is here that Isaac is giving to Jacob. So prosperity. Verse 29, "Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you." So may you have prominence and priority over the nations and over your family. And then third, the end of verse 29, "Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." And that's relational, your relationships. May those who oppose you be opposed. May those who curse you be cursed. May those who support you be supported. May those who bless you be blessed. And it's the same phrase that's used of his grandfather, Abraham, in Genesis 12:3. "May those who bless you be blessed. May those who curse you be cursed." He's talking about God's people, that God will be with him. So that's kind of the idea of the blessing. And it's given then to Jacob, not to Esau, but Isaac thinks he's giving it to Esau. Then you get verse 30, and I almost picture this like a scene from a movie. Verse 30, "As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, when Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father," and I picture Jacob like going out the back door, just as Esau is coming in the front door, "Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also prepared delicious food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, 'Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me.' His father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' He answered, 'I am your son, your firstborn son.'" And Isaac's response is visceral. It's physical. Verse 33, "Then Isaac trembled very violently." So you could just picture, he figured out what happened. He figured out what happened. He's trembling in a violent way. And he says, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate it all before you came, and I have blessed him. Yes, and he shall be blessed." The blessing has been spoken. It's been done. That one was given the blessing. Verse 34, "As soon as Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, 'Bless me, even me also, O my father.' But he said, 'Your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing.' Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has cheated me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he's taken away my blessing.' Then he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?'" That's Esau saying to his father. 37, "Isaac answered and said to him, 'Behold, I have made him lord over you and all his brothers. I have given to him for servants, and with grain and wine I have sustained him. What then can I do for you, my son?'" And it's sad. Verse 38, "Esau said to his father, 'Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father.' And Esau lifted up his voice and wept." Esau's response is emotional. And we feel sorry for Esau And if you have any ounce of compassion, you should, in a sense, feel sorry for Esau to a degree. But we do miss culturally what's going on here. If you've ever seen The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings, I picture Gollum. You remember Gollum? You actually get to a place in those movies where you feel sorry. If you don't know who Gollum is, we'll rejoin you in just a moment. But you get to a place in those movies where you see Gollum, and Gollum, you just feel sad and sorry for Gollum because all he wants is that. I just want the ring. Would you just give me the ring? And it's pathetic in the real sense of the word. Like, there's pathos. You feel for Gollum, this scriggled up little guy who was obsessed with this ring. I think that's partly what's going on here in the text. Esau desperately wants the blessing, but he doesn't want the Lord. That's what's going on here. Esau's like Gollum. I desperately, desperately want the ring, but I'm not interested in the truth. And there is no blessing apart from the Lord. There is none for him or for you. There's no real lasting blessing apart from the Lord. Esau has no sign of prioritizing the Lord in his life, nor walking in the way of the Lord. There's no interest in marrying within the faith. There's no interest in carrying out the Lord's plan. He should have known by now that the plan was that his younger brother would be the priority. But he didn't want anything to do with that. And so, the words of Isaac to him in verse 39, "Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, 'Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck.'" There's no blessing for Esau. So I want to look now at some of the fallout of this and his family, and then talk about some application. The fallout for the family, of course, sin makes everything a mess and a disaster. Immediately you get hatred, division, and plans for murder. Verse 41. "Now Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, 'The days of mourning for my father are approaching. Then I will kill my brother Jacob.'" So now there's a plan launched to murder his brother. When his dad dies, after the days of mourning are done, he's going to kill his brother. Again, his dad lives for decades longer. But he makes this plan. He hatches this plan. And then we see fleeing, separation, and estrangement in the family. Verse 42. "But the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah." So she learns of this plan to kill Jacob. "So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you.'" Now that's an interesting phrase there. Your brother is comforting himself with his plans to kill you. Okay? Now there's something going on here. You can look at this through a psychological lens, and I think it'd be somewhat appropriate. But what goes on is God made us, in a sense, to attach and to self-soothe. Ready? You're thinking, how are we getting to this in the sermon? Just listen to this. What happens, the way that God designed relationships and attachment to happen is that an infant baby, before they're even conscious, learns to settle and get peace. How? By connecting with its parents, its mom and its dad. And there's something that science has shown us, that baby connects making eye contact with the mom and the dad. When you're holding that baby, and that baby is looking up and seeing, in a sense, assurance and peace, and it's learning to settle and soothe itself, "I am safe. I am safe here right now." Okay, so parents provide this structure of safety and security for their parents. Let me tell you what's going on a lot right now. Ready? I got my baby, and I got my phone. I'm serious. You can see it everywhere. Yeah, just a minute. People are looking at this, and they're supposed to be looking at their babies. They're supposed to be connecting and attaching with their babies and with their children, and they're doing this. And so these attachments now are getting messed up in a lot of ways because we're doing this. Throw this thing away and look at your children. Look at their faces. Yeah, can we have an amen? I don't know who's clapping, but I'm with you on that. Put that thing away. Look at your children. Look at your wife. Look at your husband and connect with them. Do it. And if you need to repent of that, do it. And if you need to say to your family, I listen to what, hopefully it's not what Pastor Ken, but what Holy Spirit said. I listen to that and I need to do that. And I'm going to do that a lot more. I'm going to put that thing away for you because I love you too much. And I want to be in relationship with you and not with a phone. Okay? So make this attachment. So we find ways to self-soothe. And sometimes that's through sex or porn. Sometimes it's through anger. Sometimes it's through work. We find food is a way to self-soothe. We find things to self-soothe. Esau was finding a way to comfort himself by imagining killing his brother. And he would just sit there and just think, oh, then I'll get satisfaction. Then I can rest once he's gone. That's how it fits into the bigger picture of what's going on. Jacob, it says, so Rebecca comes to Jacob, verse 43. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to Laban, my brother. Go to your uncle Laban in Haran and stay with him a while until your brother's fury turns away. Stay with him a while. Can I tell you, when you do the math in the scripture, Jacob flees not for a while. He's gone for over 20 years. Over 20 years he flees and he stays with Uncle Laban. Isaac, in fact, was not near death. He lives for many more years, all the way until chapter 35. And Rebecca would never see her favorite son again this side of heaven. That's what sin does. It destroys, it divides, it separates, it estranges. Imagine the marriage relationship between Isaac and Rebecca after these events. Can you imagine the pillow talk that night? You deceived me, and she's thinking, yes, but it was for the Lord's will, and now I don't see my son ever again. There's strife and division in the family. Esau marries a third wife, like I said. That's in Genesis 28, verses 6 through 9. Let's talk about some application. Where do we go with this? One, God's sovereign plan to bless Jacob and the nations through the promised one, Jesus Christ. Way back to just after the fall, when God said there would be enmity between the seed of the woman Eve and the seed of Satan, there would be enmity, and you will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. One is coming one day through the line of Eve, and then through the line of Abram, and then through the line all the way down, and that is Jesus Christ. Nothing can thwart God's plan of redemption for his people. He did not need Rebecca's help, and he doesn't need your help. That may help make you feel helpless or insignificant. It shouldn't. It should make you feel very significant to be a part of God's plan of redemption. But he did not need Rebecca's help to make his plan where there'd be a Savior, the promised one, coming through this line. God had and still has a plan to bless the descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people, and the nations of the world through the promised offspring, Jesus Christ. It's still in motion today. It didn't stop with the birth of Christ. It didn't start with the birth of Christ. It started way back in Genesis. And you're seeing it played out before you. And your sin and Rebecca's sin and Jacob's sin cannot thwart that plan. It can't. He's too powerful. He's all sovereign. He's good. Second, the blessing comes through the Blessed One, and it's available to everyone through faith in Jesus Christ. You don't have to be wondering, is the blessing for me or not? The blessing comes to you through faith in Christ. It's not based on birth order or ethnicity or how smart you are or how beautiful you are or anything like that. It's based on faith in Jesus Christ. That's how the blessing comes. I think about this pastorally. just the number of stories I've known, my own story, but many stories that I've known over the years, the struggles and the relational dynamics in which we find ourselves. You've heard me describe it this way from the front before, but it's the idea of the iceberg, that what we see of the iceberg is only about 10 or 15% that's above the water, but under the water is 85 or 90% of the iceberg. Most of it's under the things that are not seen. And consider how many of us are shaped in our day-to-day, hour-to-hour, moment-by-moment thinking and action by things that are not of the Lord. Let me try to explain this to you. One of the overarching human condition focuses, you might say, of this text is this: I want the blessing. Or I want the blessing for my children. I want it so desperately, I'll do whatever it takes to get it. Okay? So that's the idea. In fact, the word bless or blessing is used 23 times in chapter 27 alone. Curse is used a number of times too. But I want the blessing. I want the blessing in my life. But the problem is my brother. He's better at me, and he's better than me at sports. He's better than me at at his work ethic, at his grades. He looks better than you. My sister is more pretty than I am, or whatever it is. Or I never live up to my dad's expectations, whatever it is. There's all these human dynamics of I want to be blessed, and if I just had this, I will be blessed. You need to wipe all that stuff out and stop thinking about this is about your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your best friend, your boss, your pastor, and it's about you. Do you have the blessing through faith in Christ? And what I mean by the under the water iceberg, how many people live their whole lives trying to sort of fulfill a vendetta or some kind of narrative they have in their head that somebody else gave them maybe on the playground when they were in third grade? Can I just say, wipe that out and listen to God's voice first. Who do you say that Jesus is, and who does Jesus say you are in him? That's what you need to come back to. And this family in Scripture was filled with all kinds of dynamics and struggle and deceit, and I'm going to get my way, and I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to do this. They were missing the Blessed One. Let God's be the first voice in your life. And consider what the blessing is. You're not blessed by good looks, riches, athletic prowess, social status, how much stuff you have. Can I just say emphatically, Bill Gates is not a blessed man. I have nothing personally against Bill Gates. He's got all kinds of money, but he is not blessed. There, on the available evidence, he has never trusted in Christ. And Jeffrey Epstein was not a blessed man, but he had his own island and boats and riches and with the most powerful people in the world. And Bill Gates, on the available evidence, is going exactly where Jeffrey Epstein is right now. He's not blessed. He's not blessed because he didn't have Christ. But if you have Christ, all the other stuff can go away, and you're still blessed. That's what the Scripture says. Consider Esau's sorrow. His sorrow was real. It was real. Those tears were not crocodile tears. Those were real tears, but it was not Godward focused. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. Esau didn't have that. But the sorrow of the world produced death. And we know that Esau didn't have it because of Hebrews 12. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that there may be no sexually immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. My friends, come under the lordship of the King of Blessing. I've been just hearing some stories recently and in doing a number of these new member interviews for people who are joining today. I'm aware that there are a number of men in our congregation in whom it looks like the Lord is really working right now in a powerful way. It's very encouraging. I could probably name right now 8 or 9 men. It's like, it looks like God is grabbing hold of these men, and it's affecting them, and it's affecting their families for good. It's affecting their marriages. It's beginning to change their parenting. It's changing how they're relating to their kids. It's beautiful. They're coming under the lordship of the King of Blessing, and I want to see that keep going. I can't make that happen, but you'll join me in praying that that will keep happening and keep going on. And I'm seeing men who will say, I'm not looking anymore for the blessing. I'm looking for the blessed one. Psalm 73, 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but the Lord is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And the man or the woman of God or the young person of God says, God, you can deny me health. You can deny me wealth. You can deny me social status. You can deny me friends. Deny me all, but don't deny me Jesus. Give me Jesus. And if you have Jesus, you are blessed. You don't need to wonder, can I have that blessing? Isaiah 45, 22. God says, look unto me and be saved, all the earth, for I am God. And there's no one else. Receive him, your God, your King. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your amazing grace and mercy. And for not only opening the door to heaven, but accomplishing our salvation through the death of Christ on the cross. Father, we pray that you would, in our men and our women and our young people, stir their hearts, draw them close to you, that they would not be distracted by the riches of the world or the messages of the world or the foolishness or false things that won't last. But Father, the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, would you be enthroned in their hearts and their minds? This morning, God, if there are any here who do not know you, we pray that you would regenerate their hearts, even in this moment. Make them born again. Make them bow the knee to you and say, I want this God, and I'll give up what people think of me. And I know that will be humbling, God, for some, to maybe admit to a spouse or to children or to parents that they've not been following you in the ways that you've called them to. But Lord, give them the courage and the strength, equip them to name that, to receive Christ as King of their lives. And we pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Right? Amen. Let's go out with the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.